Last week, a friend from work talked to me about something that really bothered him. My friend is a Christian, and every weekend he is very busy with many community services, many community outreach works for his church in the valley. He confided that he had a relative whose daughter is applying for college, and she needs some community service credits. So the relative asked him if he could write a letter of recommendation that the young student had been involved in many community service activities at my friend's church. My friend didn't want to do it because he said that was not right, because that would be lying, because the girl never really joined anything at the church. But then the relative insists, well, you don't have to sign it as a church, but as a person who knows a girl, you can sign it. For the relative to come to my friend asking for such favor, is he doing the right thing? My friend, had he signed the letter, would it be right? Would it be right helping a friend out, or would he be lying if he signed the letter? And would that be fair with the younger people who've been very active in the church community services? So what the message that I want to share with you this morning is from the book of James. It will be in James chapter 1. But before we go into that, I share a few personal experience. You know, it had been several years that our family had been trying to exercise more. We see that nothing more fun and cheaper and convenient than walking every night. Everybody put on your shoes and walk at night together around the neighborhood. So every new year, we started walking together. But about a couple months into the year, you know, it's that rainy season. When it rained, we didn't want to walk. And so we didn't like to walk in the rain. So we took a break from our walks. But the rainy day stopped. Yet none of us want to resume the walking right away, so we delay and delay, and the next thing we know, we stop walking for good. So another new year comes, and then the old cycle happened. So it becomes so bad that we said, forget about walking in the rather neighborhood. Let's buy a walking machine instead. So we know that we all need to exercise more. It's good for our weight, good for our hearts, and for our health. So my husband did some research. He checked around, and finally we bought a good exercise machine. Not real expensive, but it provides the best way to walk indoor. We clean an area in our family room so that we can have the machine right there. It's a really good machine, and it's really efficient. It sure will bring good health to our family. But we have had the machine for almost a year, and it has not been used much. Except in the weekend, maybe my children came home and they touch it a little bit. So likewise, you know, a couple weeks ago, we want to do some painting of our hallway. So Sunday morning, we went to Home Depot, all feeling good, picked up some paints. We want to paint the hallway, some brighter colors. We got all the tools, the paints, the covers, everything. We get everything laid out already. But we've been out all day, so we want to take a break. After all, it's Sunday, you know, so we want to really relax a bit, eat some lunch, watch a little bit of TV. It has been months. Everything's still laying there. The hallway is not painted. So, you know, in both situations, everything is ready. We have done all of our homework. We only need to take the last step to do it. And we haven't. Without really doing it or applying what we know, what we research, we will get no result. So just like us, without doing exercise, we're not going to get healthier or lose any weight. Or without really painting the paints, the tools there, we don't have a new hallway. Are we in that kind of situation with our Christian life? You know, we go to church every Sabbath, we have Bible study, we read the Bible, we study the Word of God, we highlight our Bible in colors, we mark all the wonderful passages, we learn a lot, we collected a lot of teachings from the Bible by just coming to church. In church, we love the sermons and the messages delivered to us. We so agree with the wonderful message. We hallelujah, we amen, all the time. What are the messages? But do we practice and apply any teaching of the Bible, the Word of God? Do we? The Vietnamese have a saying, có học phải có hành. Anybody know what that is? It means learn and apply, or learning and doing. When I was young in grade school in Vietnam, you know, in high school in Vietnam too, that was many, many, many decades ago. I learned chemistry, I learned biology, I memorized all the books, the formulas, I memorized down to the commas and the periods. I was good, but we never had a chance to really stand in a lab or try the reactions of the chemicals or seeing a microscopes. I never did. I never applied or practiced the formulas that I learned at all, even though I got all the A's and all my tests. So, you know, any kind of study need practice and application. And in study the Word of God, we have to do the same. Or every Sabbath after such a memorable an uplifting worship service, and after an exciting Bible study discussions, we leave the church, we go home, we are back to our daily routine. And we live our life no different than the life of those who don't go to church, who do not read the Bible, who do not know God, do we? Are we going out there speaking rough words, unkind words, gossip, negative words to or about others? Do we talk proud words? Do we behave badly? Do we have an attitude? Do we get angry easily and not easy to forgive? Or do we hang out, drinking, greedy, cheating, lazy at work, bullying those that are weaker than us or below us? Are we? Do we? You know, in a way, as believers, we don't apply, sometimes we forget to apply what we learn to our daily life. If we do be that way, we might as well, you know, we live our life just like those who don't know God, who never learned the Word of God. So now let's get back to the letter of James. You know who James, the James that wrote this letter, who he is? He, the author of this book, is a younger brother of Jesus. You know Jesus? Let me have a quick quiz. You know, who else was Jesus' brother that wrote in the New Testament besides James? Jude. Very good, thank you. Jude and James, they were they are brothers of Jesus, because Jesus was the firstborn. Remember the Bible said? He was the firstborn of Mary and Joseph. After that, and the Bible mentioned many times, several times, that several occasions that Jesus was talking to his mom, his mother, and his brothers and sister. So James became, this is not the John and James, a disciple. This James here is an elder of one of the early church. So let us read in James 1:22. Do not merely listen to the word and do deceive yourself. Do what it says. And then verse 26, those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Why did James say that the people are deceiving themselves? Because he was telling the church members, the believers of the church, then that you have learned the Word of God, you have read the Bible every day, but don't take that as you have done everything required for a follower of Christ. Because if you think so, then you got to be kidding yourself. You have not applied anything you learned, you have not practiced anything you preach, then you are fooling yourself. Fooling oneself is fooling or lying to one's own conscience. It means that you know what is right and what is wrong according to the teachings of God, yet you continue to do it. And not only so, you are finding excuses for living for not living the Word of God. Like, you know that God detests commit adultery, yet your mind is thinking of sexual thoughts. You seek pornography or sexual talks. You are deceiving yourself. You know that the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not steal, yet you are committing, you are omitting certain items from your tax return. You are deceiving yourself. You know that drunkenness is bad and degrading the image of God, yet you are still drinking and glorify it. You are deceiving yourself. You know that greed is bad, yet you have not returned tithes to God. You know that God teaches you to have mercy and love, yet you cannot stop gossiping. Never try, you know, never try to say negative comments behind some people or right in front of them too, or making fun of them. You know, so that's what James said, that the person religion is worthless and useless for that person. Let us read furthermore on verses 22 to 24. Do not merely listen to the word and do deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Every morning when we get up, before we leave the house, we are looking into the mirror. Hair is all messed up. You need a shave. You need to wash your face, brush your teeth. Your face has no makeup. Your clothes are wrinkles. You just look bad and untidy. You acknowledge how you look, but then you go on to have some breakfast and leave the house. You go to school, you go to the office, you go to church, a meeting, look like a mess. Then you get busy with the work, the studies, and you forget how you look and what you have on. But the people around you, they see clearly how you look like. You know, we don't behave like that. Even though clothes and makeup are just outer look, we still need to prepare ourselves to be decent and presentable. Some people may spend an hour in front of the mirror to get ready, like they would fix what she doesn't like or look into the mirror for an hour and a half. You know, the outer beauty is just skin deep, yet we do care to get ourselves together. How about the inner beauty of a Christian, a follower of Jesus? We go to church, we listen to sermons, we participate in Sabbath school discussion, we read the Bible every day. That is our mirror. The Word of God shows us that we know what is our weakness, what our transgression are. We tell ourselves, I have to change. Acknowledge our weakness and admit that we need to change to improve is the first step. You know, but if we are like that person in the mirror, he looks at himself in the mirror, know what he needs to fix, yet do nothing about it. We know what we need to do, but as soon as we leave the church parking lot, we completely forget that we need to do to apply God's word, God's teaching in our lives. During his ministry, Jesus mentioned many times about those who hear but do not do. You know, Christian philosophy, the teachings of Jesus about how to conduct our lives can be found in the book of Matthew, the three chapters, chapter 5, 6, and 7. If you get a chance, read it over and over and meditate on those words. Those are also known as the Sermon on the Mount. At the end of his sermon, Jesus said, now that you have heard my words, you need to put them into practice. Then he went on and gave an illustration about what hear and do are like. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Many of you know this story. Therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and put them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blow and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But anyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the stream rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. To build a house on the rock is not easy. Rock is very hard. You have to dig deeper. You have to build columns. You may have to use steel to hold your foundation. The house, once built, is very strong because it's built on the strong foundation. Building a house on sand is not as tough. It's a bit easier and you can build faster. To practice a Christ-like lifestyle, you need a strong foundation. You need to learn, to train, to practice. You know, with children, it's a little bit easier. We can train to teach them, but as people grow older and older, it's harder for them to learn and to change. So then, therefore, our practice has to be more and more intense. The Word of God, we already know, but our behavior, our habit, also need to change. They could be some simple habits, but they could be those that make us transgressing God's law. Because the habits, characters are built on strong foundation of God's way, when the trials, the challenges, the temptations of life, the storms of life blowing over it, we can overcome and stand firmly because we have a strong foundation that keeps us not to be washed away. During the last earthquake and the tsunami that destroyed Japan, one thing that the entire world was amazed and shockingly admiring is the characters of the Japanese. They demonstrate a high level of discipline and civilized and respectful. Even the world around them are collapsing. The people were patiently standing in line, waiting for their turn to receive aid. They helped each other, and there were no lootings reported at all. Then, another thing, there was a nuclear plant. There were workers. They need workers to help to control the nuclear plant. You remember that? Older workers were volunteering to go into work to save the plant. They are older people that are older than 60 years old. Why? Why the older people? They said because they were old. They were already had lived a good life. If they had to die because of the radiation, at least they had lived 60 years. Instead of young people, they haven't had a chance to live. Isn't that amazing, the way they think? In our own experience, even in America, some of us have lived through very turbulent time. We had witnessed many people that could not hold up to pressure, to adversities. You know, you see Katrina, you see many of those things, and you see it on the news. In bad times, even some respectable people turn into bandits and cheaters. We saw that happen, not only in developing and poor countries, right here in America, in rich countries like China. So what the Japanese proved to us that they are civilized people, great characters built on strong foundation. So what about us, the followers of Christ? What about us? Jesus said, therefore, anyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had foundation on rock. You know, Jesus said very clear that the house did not fall, not because it was built well. I bet the guy who built the house on the sand built a house very nice and strong too, but it did not fall because it has foundation on the rock. We are all the same. We all build good house. We are all building up our characters, but where do we build our characters on? If we build our characters on the foundation of the Word of God, then we will stand still when challenges rushing our way. Therefore, both things, learn and apply, are very important elements in the life of a Christian. No one can have a house on a strong foundation if that person have not yet listened or learned about the truth, the Word of God. If one does not hear nor study, he would not know what foundation to build on. So in a letter that sent to Timothy, Paul said, on 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15-16, Paul said, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. It seems like both James and Paul in this teaching here, the words, the way we talk, thing, you know, is one of the important part of our behavior too. Be a doer. In Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. You know, all the Bible heroes that we learn when we were young, that we read about, they are doers. They were those who apply what they learn and how they live. They apply their faith. They apply what they, you know, what the American word saying, they say, they walk the talk, okay, not just talk. Remember Joseph, in any situations when his brothers was mistreating him, when he was imprisoned for the wrong reason, when the woman was trying to seduce him, when he become a biggest man, I mean the most important man in the country, in every situation, he lived his faith. His behavior reflects his character. Remember Joshua? He demonstrated the faith he had in God. Remember his saying, this statement, but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. Remember Paul? He the man who declare, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. You know, they were the heroes because they applied what they learned and lived what they believe. It is important to listen to the word of God, but it is more important to obey and to practice and to apply it. How can we measure the effectiveness of our study in the word of God? How? That is how, by how we affect it, our attitudes and our behavior. You know, to summarize his teaching, James, on chapter chapter 1:25, he say, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. You know, America is a country that is a champion of freedom. But America is also a country that has many laws. If you follow the laws, you can live freely in this country. If you don't follow the laws, you will be put in prison. You would not want to live in a country that has no law or lawless, do you? You know, because in those countries you have no protection. So you see, if you study the law of God and obey it, then sin cannot control you. You have the freedom. You will have the freedom from sin. Our faith is to be more than just a statement, oh, I'm Christian. More than that, we have to live our faith, study the word of God, and apply it. Then we will be blessed. You know, we bless not only in this life, but in the life to come. I want to read again the whole verses, all the verses in this letter of James, James 1, verse 19 through 26. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all the moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and do deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, nor forgetting what they have learned, have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. So I hope that you will remember these texts that we share with you this morning, and may God bless each one of us so that we always use his word as our mirror. Let us not, you know, let us look into the mirror and fix what we see that are not fit to God's will. And let us not only learn, but to hear, just not learn and hear, but also do it, you know, and live it every day. Amen.